One doesn't know ever exactly what one wants to do.
Oh, dear,
she sighed. Really? Said her husband. I should have thought that that was not at all characteristic of you. The trouble with you has always been that you know much too well what you do want to do. What I mean is, said Tuppence, that here we are, getting older, getting a bit, well, let's face it, definitely rheumatic. Especially when one is stretching, you know, stretching, putting in books, or lifting things down from shelves, or kneeling down to look at the bottom shelves for something, then finding it a bit difficult to get up again.
Yes, yes, said Tommy. That's an account of our general disabilities, is that what you started to say?
Well, no, it isn't what I started to say. What I started to say was, it was lovely to be able to buy a new home and find just the place we wanted to go and live in, and just the house there we'd always dreamt of having, with a little alteration, of course,
knocking one or two rooms into each other, said Tommy, and adding to it what you call a veranda, and what your builder calls a lodger, though I prefer to call it a loggia.
And it's going to be very nice, said Tuppence firmly.
When you've done it, I shan't know it. Is that the answer? Said Tommy.
Not at all. All I said was that when you see it finished, you're going to be delighted and say what an ingenious and clever and artistic wife you have.
All right, said Tommy. I'll remember the right thing to say.
You won't need to remember, said Tuppence. It will burst upon you.
What's that got to do with books? Said Tommy.
Well, we brought two or three cases of books with us. I mean, we sold off the books we didn't much care about. We brought the ones we really couldn't bear to part with. And then, of course, the, what you call them's, oh, I can't remember their name now, but the people who were selling us this house, they didn't want to take a lot of their own things with them. And they said, if we'd like to make an offer, they would leave things, including books. And we came and looked at things,
and we made some offers, said Tommy.
Yes, not as many as they hoped we would make, I expect. Some of the furniture and ornaments were too horrible. Well, fortunately, we didn't have to take those. But when I came and saw the various books, there were some nursery ones, you know, some down in the sitting room, and there were one or two old favourites, my own special favourites. So I thought it'd be such fun to have them. You know, the story of Androcles and the Lion. I remember reading that when I was 8 years old. Andrew Lang.
Tell me, Tuppence, were you clever enough to read at 8 years old?
Yes, said Tuppence. I read at 5 years old. Everybody could when I was young. I didn't know one even had to sort of learn. I mean, somebody would read stories aloud, and you liked them very much, and you remembered where the book went back on the shelf, and you were always allowed to take it out and have a look at it yourself. So you found you were reading it too, without bothering to learn to spell or anything like that. It wasn't so good later, because I've never been able to spell very well. And if somebody had taught me to spell when I was about 4 years old, I can see it would have been very good indeed. My father did teach me to do addition and subtraction and multiplication. Of course, because he said the multiplication table was the most useful thing you could learn in life. And I learned long division, too.
What a clever man he must have been, said Tommy.
Well, I don't think he was especially clever, said Tuppence. But he was just very, very nice.
Aren't we getting away from the point?
Yes, we are, said Tuppence. Well, as I said, I thought of reading Androcles and the Lion again. It came in a book of stories about animals, I think, by Andrew Lang. Oh, I loved that. And there was a story about A Day in My Life at Eton by an Eton schoolboy. I can't think why I wanted to read that, but I did. It was one of my favourite books. And there were some stories from the classics. And there was Mrs. Molesworth, The Cuckoo Clock, Four Winds Farm.
Well, that's all right, said Tommy. No need to give me a whole account of your literary triumphs in early youth.
What I mean is, said Tuppence, that you can't get them nowadays. I mean, sometimes you get reprints of them, but they've usually been altered and have different pictures in them. Really, the other day I couldn't recognize Alice in Wonderland when I saw it. Then there are one or two of the old fairy books, Pink, Blue, and Yellow. And then, of course, lots of later ones which I'd enjoyed, lots of Stanley Weymans and things like that. There are quite a lot here left behind.
All right, said Tommy, you were tempted. You felt it was a good buy.
Yes, at least,
what do you mean a good buy?
I mean, B-U-Y, said Tommy.
Oh, I thought you were going to leave the room and were saying goodbye to me.
Not at all, said Tommy.
I was deeply interested.
Anyway, it was a good B-U-Y, and I got them very cheap, as I tell you. And here they all are, among our own books and others. And we've got such a terrible lot now of books, and the shelves we had made, I don't think they're going to be nearly enough.
And what about your special sanctum? Is there room there for more books?
No, there isn't.